This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
38 years, you guys are tired already. Okay, that's all right. God is a God of second chances. Amen.
This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Oh, I heard that strong. Okay, thank you so much. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And you may hear this in the upcoming weeks because it's part of the Christmas story. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. And it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Thank God. Literally, thank God. He will save us from our sins. Verse 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. When we talk about the mighty name of Jesus, there's so many different words for it. Prince of Peace. The Old Testament lists names for it. The New Testament has different names. But it's the mighty name of Jesus that we have to remember and we have to get in our mind. The name of Jesus said he will save his people from their sins. And it says God is with us. Not God may be with us. At times God will come visit you. God is currently and always with us. So we're told who he is and what he is. But early on in Jesus' ministry, if you flip over to Matthew chapter 16, early on in Jesus' ministry, he was talking to his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16, one page too many, Jesus is talking. And it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples." Okay, so picture this. It's early in his ministry. He's with his disciples. And he asked them, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I think it's interesting. He says, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? He's asking, who do they say I am? While he's telling the disciples who he is. But he wants to know, who do they say I am? Let's say you guys are the disciples, and outside those doors are they. Who did they say I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, they say a couple things. They say I'm different things. But then Jesus said, again, you're my disciples, and Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? Who do each one of you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He goes on and he says, man, how great is that? Blessed are you. Why? Because my Father in heaven revealed this to you. You didn't know it by man telling you. But you knew it because God revealed that to you. Man, Jesus just sat with his guys and said, who are the people saying I am? Who did they say I am? Then he asked him, who do you say I am? Now, I think each one of us should do the same thing outside these four walls. Who do they say I am? But then we've got to stop. Who do you say he is? Who do you say Jesus is? And I think each one of us has to answer that question ourselves. As we search for and pray for our spiritual awakening this year, and more in 24, we have to ask, who do we say he is to us? We have to acknowledge and recognize who and what he is to us. Now, some of us may know, hey, he's Jesus. He's powerful. I know that. But deep down, who is he? Who is he to you? What is he to you? I keep him back here in this closet. And when I'm going through some tough times, I go back there, rummage around until I find him. And I pull him back out and say, here he is. Whew. Eric mentioned last week, the Bible sitting next to his bed. And after a while, if you don't stay up with that, you pick it up and you notice there's a layer of dust. And for some of us, that's who Jesus is to us. Well, I come hear about him, but you see, during the week, I don't really have this relationship with him. But we have to get down and answer that question. Because in the end, it doesn't necessarily matter who they say he is. Oh, he's not real. Oh, you believe in this thing you can't see. We have to answer the question, who is he? Who do we say he is? Now turn over in the New Testament a few more chapters or a few more books to Romans chapter 10. And as we're thinking about who is he to us, we have to understand what's in his name. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. And it says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. So you've got to confess him with your mouth. Then we have to believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. And it says, if we do that, you will be saved. Again, not he might visit you. You might be saved. It says, he will save you. He is with you. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction, or for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, let's not forget that. For whoever, church, we have to be careful when we say, oh, they can't possibly be a believer. Because this says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, we're talking saved versus they left all their sins behind. This just says they shall be saved. Because we have to remember, see, we walk around as saved individuals if we have done those things and called on the name of Jesus and believed in our heart he was raised from the dead by God. If we do those, then we are saved. He says he's come so that we can be free from sin. That doesn't mean that we are, only meaning that we have free will to choose to go in places we choose to go in, to talk the way we want, to enter into relationships as we see fit. Not as we see right, as we want to do. You see, we still have the flesh. He's conquered sin on the cross and through his death and resurrection. We still have this attached to us. That's where we struggle. But this says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once we are saved, our goal is to make sure others know about Jesus Christ and offer them salvation as well by these things. And we can do that by our testimony. Pastor Eric all the time. Says, man, if you've got a testimony, let's share it. And that's a great way to tell people, hey, here's where I was before I knew Jesus. And I found out about Jesus. Here's what I did. And this is life now with Jesus. I had to go out of town the other day with a person from work. And we got talking about religion and church. And he's a believer. I was glad to hear that. But he said, I struggle finding a church that preaches the Word of God as it is written. He said, a lot of places want to change it. Of course, I invited him to our church, especially this Sunday. He wasn't able to make it. He had a prior engagement. But I hear that a lot. People are religious or they're saved. But there's a bunch of excuses of why they don't attend church, can't attend church, don't submit to his authority. But this does say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus if we can call on his name and we are saved. There's power in that name. Now turn back another few books to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2. But if we can call on his name and be saved, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And it says this. I was going to read a shorter version, but I think it's all important. It all ties in. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me just stop there. As we talk about wanting to be Christ followers and Christ-like, then it's important that we understand that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now listen to this part. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. If we want to be Christ-like, humble yourselves. For goodness sakes, humble yourselves. And he became obedient. If we want to be Christ-like, be obedient. To what? To his word. He humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Man. Given him the name above all others. There is power in the name of Jesus. You know, knuckleheads must be another word for bald head or something like that, or me at least. Eric said, man, we aren't the greatest speakers. We're not the greatest storytellers. But let me tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. And I'll stand here and tell you today, no preacher, no doctor, no demon's name is above the name of Jesus. Nor can it be compared to Jesus. He is our strong and mighty tower. Whatever we face, we have to call on the name of Jesus. And he will hear us. You know, a week ago, my wife and Austin and I went to a party. They had a little bounce house, and Atlas and Aurora were there. And Austin and Cindy and I were sitting over at the food table. Bounce house was over there. And in the midst of everything going on, you could hear this name, Dad! Dad! Austin got up and hightailed it. Why did he do that? Because he knew that it was his son. His father knew his son's voice, and he could hear the urgency, and he responded. Dad, Dad. Austin, his father knew that voice, but he also knew the urgency. And he went and got him and took care of him. And if we can do that here on earth and understand and recognize the voice and the sound of our children, man, our Father in heaven, He knows our voice and He knows and hears our urgency as well. And He will respond. There is power in the name of Jesus because there is power in the person of Jesus. Let me say that again. There's power in the name of Jesus because there's power in the person of Jesus Christ. When we speak His name, we should remember and acknowledge His essence. We have to acknowledge His essence when we speak His name, who and what He is. The name of the person of Jesus has the power to bring peace and unrest. The name of and the power of the person of Jesus has the power to give rest to the restless, to give hope to the hopeless, to restore joy, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to get the lost found, to get the weak strong, get the shy bold, to speak out in His name. It has the power to set the sinner free. It has power to bring light into darkness. It has power to break every chain. To break every chain, church. The name of Jesus has the power to break every chain that is holding you down, that is holding you back. All you have to do is call on the mighty name of Jesus, and He will respond, just as Austin heard the sound of his son calling, Dad. He will hear you when you call on Him. Now, that is to say, sometimes when Atlas calls Dad, Dad doesn't say no. Our Father will respond, though. And He will respond with His perfect plan. Father, today I give you thanks for 38 years of prayer, faith, world outreach. God, I give you thanks today for bringing the gospel to this community, for 38 years of changed lives and 38 years of ministering to those in need. God, I pray blessings on this generation for their continued support of prayer of faith. And I give thanks for the sacrifices of those that came before us here at Prayer of Faith. God, today I pray that we remember and acknowledge your essence when we call on your name. I pray blessings over our fellowship meal today, God, and the time that we spend with one another. I pray that the food would nourish our bodies and the fellowship would nourish our souls, God. God, I pray today that this message frees someone today. I pray that this message today gives somebody power over the enemy, over depression. God, I pray today that people are freed from this. They understand the mighty name of Jesus, that we continue to preach the mighty name of Jesus here at Prayer of Faith. God, I pray today that we're drawn closer to you and your likeness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Would you stand and sing this song out with us like you believe it today?